The Lord be with you. Brian, would you be so kind as to usher the people in there from the outside so we can get started and give our speakers an ample amount of time this morning? So, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take a break today from the Gospel of John, and we've got a special presentation from one of our mission partners today. And we want to give them as much time as possible. I mentioned at the 8:15 service that Jesus' words to his disciples prior to his ascension were that they were to go into all the world and preach the gospel and make disciples of all men. And while not all of us can be engaged physically in foreign mission, it is nevertheless a gospel mandate. It is something that we are called to do. Somebody has said that the church exists by mission as a fire exists by burning, and that is so true. But while we can't all go, we can nevertheless support those who are called to go. And that's what we try to do here at St. Philip. So it's a great privilege of us for us to have these representatives from Uganda Christian University with us today to tell us about the work that God is doing in East Africa and in other places. And without further ado, I'm going to turn it over to Tom Gurley, who sits on the board of that institution and is going to open us with a word of prayer. Tom?
Thank you. Let us pray. Lord, teach us to love your house, best of all dwellings, your scriptures, best of all books, your sacraments, best of all gifts, and the communion of saints, best of all company, and that we may, as one family in one place, give thanks and adore your glory, our maker, our resurrection, and our life. Amen. Well, good morning. I wanted to begin by recognizing our chairman of the World Missions Committee, Susan Keller. I'm not sure she's here, but would you please stand? I'm surprising her. She does an amazing job, an excellent job as a chairperson, and she's just very passionate about taking the gospel to all the nations. So I just wanted to make sure everyone knows her. I'm sure most people do, but just so you know that. Every Sunday, we pray for several mission groups around the world, in Central America and in Africa. And this morning, we're going to focus on Uganda. And we have the honor of our special speaker, Mark Bartels, who is the Executive Director of Uganda Christian University Partners. Mark is a graduate at Wheaton College, and he lived in Uganda for 10 years as the Director of the Uganda Studies Program, which is sort of like the best semester, what they call the, you may heard of the study abroad programs, where American students can go to Uganda and study for a semester. And his wife and three children, actually all his children were born while they were in Uganda, I think. And they were our neighbors, so we know them quite well. And he's going to introduce two other speakers as well. I won't introduce them right now. So, and we are currently praying to take a team to Uganda in the fall. So if anyone's interested, please speak with my wife, Jane, or myself about that if you want to. And also, I want to invite everybody after the 10:30 service in the parlor, we're going to have an informal information time with the speakers. If you want to come join us, we actually have light refreshments as well to sort of entice you to come. So with that, I'll turn it over to Mark Bartels, and you can have the podium.
Try and see which mic. I don't want to mess up the mic too much. I may ad lib here for a second because Cole is going to help get my computer set up to do video. So while he comes up and does that, I'll do a little stand up over here. Is this on? Yeah, this is on too. Well, first, I just want to say thank you. You all support Uganda Christian University through your World Mission Committee, and we don't take that for granted. Just as you pray for your mission partners around the world, every week Uganda Christian University regularly prays for those that support their work, including international partners like you all. And so we just want to extend our thanks. As Tom said, our board of directors was here this weekend, and you all hosted us so well, and we appreciate the hospitality that you extended through your facilities and also through your staff. And so we're just very grateful for that. So I'm going to assume a little bit that there's, you know, a range of understanding of what Uganda Christian University is. So I'm going to start from scratch and give you a little bit of an overview of what the university is. And I've got some slides to do that with, which we'll get to in a second. But the first thing to say is Uganda Christian University is pretty self-explanatory. It's in Uganda. And those of you that don't know where Uganda is, that's East Africa. I'll throw a map up here in a second. It's landlocked. So Kenya, which is maybe a little bit more known, is on the coast. And then it's next to Kenya, right on top of Lake Victoria. Winston Churchill, when he visited Uganda, called it the Pearl of Africa. And so it has claimed that status ever since. And it is a very beautiful country, very green.
Very good. Which one is the video?
Studying.
Good, good. Perfect. Thank you very much. Thanks. Yeah.
Yeah, so there's the thank you slide. I covered that one. There's Uganda. So Uganda Christian University is in Uganda. If you follow world news, Uganda can be in kind of a rough neighborhood. So the Democratic Republic of Congo borders it to the west. To the north is South Sudan, and so Uganda is known to have the highest number of refugees in the world, and so it welcomes refugees from many places, and a lot of UCU alumni are engaged in refugee work in the country. But that's the location there. It's Christian, right? And Anglican specifically. The Church of Uganda is part of the Anglican Communion along with St. Philip's and the Anglican Church in North America. And, you know, Uganda is one of the success stories of spreading the gospel to all nations, all countries. There's 13 million members of the Church of Uganda in Uganda. By contrast, the ACN has about 120,000 members here in the U.S. So it's the first or second largest Anglican church, you know, with Nigeria in the world. And so your connection, your generosity is connecting you with Christians in Uganda that are worshiping every Sunday. May not be the exact same liturgy always, but lots of it's similar. And so we just want you to kind of, you know, feel that connection through the generosity that you have. UCU has been intentionally Christian since its inception, very focused on a strong chaplaincy ministry. It also does regular missions. In order to attend Uganda Christian University, you must acknowledge the Christian identity, and the vast majority of students there are Christians. However, they take non-Christians as well, and every year they run a mission where students that have grown up in the church rededicate their lives to Christ, students that haven't grown up in the church dedicate their lives to Christ. You know, there's a small Muslim population in Uganda, and they will, you know, because UCU is one of the best universities in the country, they send their students there. Every year there's Muslim students who are converting. And so it's a very kind of mission and outreach centered. The church is that way and the university is that way as well. If you walk around on a Sunday afternoon, you will see dozens of groups like this, which are fellowship groups of students gathering to read the Bible, pray, and praise. English is the language of instruction, and so it's the common language there for all education. But it's a second language for many of these students. So first of all, they're doing, you know, university education in a second language. But your first language always is, you know, has a strong sense of who you are and how you experience the world. And so these fellowship groups are a chance for them to engage in Bible study and worship, you know, in their first language. Faith integration in the classroom is very important to UCU. And so the desire is that every discipline is taught with Christian integration, both certainly Christian moral and ethics, but also just a renewing of the mind in terms of a Christian view of things. And so it's thoroughly Christian. The full-time faculty have to be professing Christians to teach there. And it's the Church of Uganda, the archbishop is the head of the the kind of the spiritual overseer of the university. All right, it's a university, right? There's the landmark building. It was founded in 1913 as Bishop Tucker Theological College. It officially became a university in 1997. It was the first private university to gain accreditation in Uganda. It has five campuses with more than 14,000 students, so it's a pretty big university. There's a picture of the library. Here's some of the disciplines that it offers, and so there's sub programs within all of those. But it has a wide range of the disciplines you would expect from a university. Here's some of the science lab work, creative and fine arts. They have a very strong journalism program. As a university, there's two big things that it wants to do. It wants to provide leadership in church and society, and it wants to be serving those most in need. And a couple quick examples of the serving in need, or actually both of these. The nursing program was started 20 years ago. When it started, there were four Ugandans in the country with a master's degree in nursing. That was the extent of it. They started a bachelor's degree, they took their top graduates and started a master's degree, and now there's almost a dozen UCU graduates with PhDs in nursing. They've gone out to get their PhD, come back to teach, and most nursing schools in the country are headed by UCU alum. At the same time, you know, the medical need in the country is huge, and providing nurses who are committed to compassionate care and to, you know, an ethic of life in the medical field is an important part of what they do. The incubation hub incubates businesses, right? So small and medium-sized businesses, entrepreneurship, so it offers training for entrepreneurs, you know, that can't access university education, and it also provides leadership and incubation for business, you know, small and medium businesses. So just a couple examples of kind of the top and serving the top and kind of serving the bottom as well. Here's a nurse doing some outreach and a UCU alum doing community health services. So I'm gonna play one video here, and then I'm gonna bring Charity up and do a Q&A with him.
Studying at UCU School of Medicine has made me realize that being a doctor is more than just giving medicine and removing disease from the body. It involves giving life, giving joy to people. I, for one, want to work in an area that is rural in Uganda. I have come from such an area, and I have seen the tribulation. I have seen the pain that people have because we do not have enough resources, we do not have enough personnel, and I would want to be the one that gives such kind of joy, to bring back life into people that have lost hope. And UCU has given me an opportunity to learn to be compassionate, to learn to work with passion, not just for the money, but for the end goal that is seeing a smile on the face of my patient and my client. My name is Fetaro Joan Bridget, and I have UCU.
So you're hearing from a student there, and then I want to invite Dr. Charity Alinda. Charity is a UCU graduate. He's going to share a little bit about himself. He currently works at Millersville University in the U.S., and we'll hear a little bit about his story. He's the Director of International Programs and Services there, but his current work is kind of, you know, secondary to what he's going to talk about today. So I just want to start by asking you to just share a little bit about your family background and what brought you to UCU.
Thank you, Mark. Well, good morning, everyone. I greet you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm Charity Alinda, as Mark has mentioned, and I have to say, I don't have to tell you this, but Charleston is beautiful. It's amazing, it's an amazing place to visit. I grew up in Uganda. I moved to the United States in 2009. I went to UCU as a Bachelor of Public Administration and Management student and graduated in 2009, moved to the US after I got a fellowship program to work with a nonprofit in Camden, New Jersey, of all places. So Camden, New Jersey. And allow me to be tangential a little bit. Just picture yourself growing up in Uganda, knowing the US through the lens of movies, right? So you only see Hollywood, people driving convertibles, hair flying in the wind and stuff. And then you come to the US, you get off the plane, PHL airport, get on 95, take that exit on Ben Franklin Bridge, descending into the city of Camden. That was my story, an introduction of the United States. So really two contrasting ideas of what the US was, right? So I served in Camden for 2 years and then moved to Wilmington, Delaware, then went back to graduate school, and now I'm at Millersville University. But Mark, to your question about my background in Uganda, my father is a retired Anglican clergy, and he served in the rural Uganda. What that means contextually really means in rural Uganda, the clergy don't have a lot of means, right? They serve in small churches, small congregations. People just do farming for sustaining themselves. So my dream to go into college was not really guaranteed. But really, I truly believe it was just by the grace of God that I was able to go to college, finish college uninterrupted. And there is a critical moment there because I was not interrupted in my education, partly because of UCU partners. Back then, there was a program called Scholars and Friends Scholarship. I remember it was during the second year of my program, we were going to be doing what we call finals here, right? Here, so you're finishing the second year. It's only 3 years, a bachelor's degree. And at that point, because my sister was at a different university and we were in college at the same time. So my father, remember, he was an Anglican priest in rural Uganda, meaning he really didn't have enough resources to comfortably sustain us through college. But because of the scholarship from UCU partners, I applied for the scholarship. Thankfully, I got that scholarship. I was able to complete university uninterrupted because, comparatively speaking, UCU is an expensive school. It's one of the private universities in Uganda. It may not be as expensive when you're thinking about American standards, but it's still expensive for a Ugandan, right? So I truly believe my life was drastically changed for the better because of that scholarship. And the connection to that, I share that story because I believe if it wasn't for UCU, I don't know how my life would have been, right? And I really don't want to imagine how it would have been. So I'm glad that what happened. I was able to get a scholarship, finish college on time, and because I want to consider myself as a successful Ugandan Christian University graduate, I'm able not only to impact my family, but also my friends. And the programs we are developing with my current university right now are not only going to impact one, two, or three, but hundreds of other students, not only presently, but also in the future. So my story, being a son of an Anglican clergyman, being able to go to school and finish college because of UCU and Uganda Christian University, to me is life transforming. And I think it was only by the grace of God that happened. So me being here and sharing the story with you, and as a church that supports an organization that is striving to maintain that Christian identity, is not something I take for granted. And you're giving us the time to share that is really something that I personally value, but also as a board member for UCU Partners, collectively we value very much. So thank you.
Thanks. I'm going to let him keep speaking so you can give him applause at the end. One part of the story that he left out is that he the internship in Camden was a 1 or 2 year program, is that right?
Yes.
But he met a young lady while he was there, and some years later he's now living in the U.S. with 2 children. So obviously most of the UCU graduates remain in Uganda and serve in Uganda or around East Africa. And so Charity, I'd love for you to talk a little bit about some of your classmates that are working and serving in Uganda or parts of Africa.
Thank you, Mark. So part of going to UCU, at least for me, as you know, as a college setting, so you get to make friends, you get relationships, and those relationships sometimes tend to go last for a long time, right? I remember in my class, I was fortunate enough to be part of the Honors College. And I think part of what I didn't share is the way I got to learn about the fellowship in Camden, New Jersey, was through a Uganda Studies Program student who had come from the United States to UCU to participate in this study abroad program. So they were looking for young African students who were thinking about going beyond their home of origin, like to learn about leadership and organizational leadership. So that's how I learned about this fellowship. So most of my friends who went to UC with me in the Honors College have gone on to do wonderful things. There's Dr. Violet Nkwanzi, who has a big grant working with inner city kids in Alabama. So she takes professors to Uganda to do research. And this is in HIV prevention. And that, to me, is life transforming. If it wasn't for UCU, she wouldn't have graduated. She was part of the Honors College as well. Dr. Moses Okumu, who is teaching in Chicago, Illinois, he has a big grant working in Malawi, doing testing and through the CDC. So the CDC, you're familiar with the CDC. So they're doing a lot of health transforming services for the folks in Malawi. And when you think about these rural places, there is what we call rural America. So rural America is different from rural Uganda, right? So, and I don't know if most of you or some of you have had the pleasure to travel to the global south. Life is totally different, right? So just picture a house without running water. They have an outhouse. Maybe they have just one health center in the radius of about 30,000 people. There is no medical trained doctor. And really what my colleagues are doing and what I'm doing also with my current university, we just signed a partnership with UCU, is to see how can we increase the number of health professionals in these rural areas. The video you just shows where I believe we'll be headed, not only as a university, but also as a church. And I think, to me, the body of Christ, we have not only a moral responsibility, but also an ethical responsibility to ensuring that we all live a life that God has intended us to live. And one way of doing that is making sure that people's lives, people have some dignity, people have a good health environment to live in. And I think that's how we change lives, just one family at a time. Going back to my personal story, me going to college, that meant I was able to help my parents pay for my siblings' tuition to go to college. And maybe with their lives being transformed, they'll transform their children's lives and their children's children's lives and the community as well. Our last born right now, my parents' last born just finished college. He didn't go to UCU, he went to another university in Imbarara, University of Science and Technology, and he's doing lab technology. So to me, what we are doing as a body of Christ through UCU is not only just changing one person, but is like a ripple effect that I think is going to be life transforming, not only for the nuclear family, but also for the society at large. So the folks that I've shared about are passionate about what they do in the field. And I think what is unique about what UCU offers is you're not just going to school to do medicine, you're going to school to do medicine, but with a Christian context. So that means you're going to be more ethical than probably someone who went to medical school without having that Christian identity, right? So you're just not healing the body, but also you're having the opportunity to transform someone's life, looking at you doing what you do, but doing it with the love of Christ and the love of God. And I think to me that's the most meaningful part of being a Christian, because you're not just a professional, but you're a professional who is Christian. And I think to me that is powerful.
Thank you. We'll do, you can go, I'm gonna have Brian.
Thank you so much.
If we have a few minutes at the end, we'll do a Q&A. So if you have questions for Charity, you can think of those. But I want to introduce the chair of our board, Brian Dennison. He can introduce himself a little bit. He's a lawyer from Savannah, and he's going to share for a minute with us.
All right. Good morning, everybody. And I bring you greetings from Christ Church Anglican in Savannah, Georgia. One thing Mark's going to talk about a little bit is the concept of pilgrimage. So I want to tell you a little bit about I had a little Charleston pilgrimage. I just think I left my phone there. It's okay. But I've only taken one picture when I was in Charleston, and that was I went to Zigzag Lane. I said, that's funny. So I took a picture of my head with zigzag over it, and I put it on my Facebook story or whatever, and like three people liked it, whatever. And then this morning, I got here a little early. I scared Tom, because he's like, where did Brian go? But I got here early, and I said, you know, I'm early enough. I kind of want to see St. Michael's. I've never seen St. Michael's. I went down to St. Michael's. I know it's your daughter church, so it's okay, I think, right, that I went down there. And the sermon, the guy mentioned zigzag lane three times. It was his metaphor of like looking for what God is doing that you may never have noticed before, but you may never have noticed zigzag lane, but it's there, but God is, you know. And that's really, I think, what it's like when it's a pilgrimage, right? I mean, when you go to a place and you let God figure out what the itinerary is in a way, you give space to God. You just say, all right, God, I'm going to go here. I'm going to see what's going on. I'm going to see what you have for me. And God will sometimes confirm things with like a sermon about zigzag way when it's the only picture in your phone. There was one person who died, and she was someone I knew who is just 100 years old. I don't know if anybody here knows Clark and Carol Smith. Clark also passed away, but Mary Brown Heritage, who would go there sometimes, Hudson, if anybody knows. Anyway, they mentioned her, and I was like, I'm in the right place. I know Mary Brown Heritage. I went to her 100th birthday party, you know. And sometimes God does that when you go to places and he just opens up things. We just went on that amazing tour. We had a tour, a similar thing. You just look for God. So I'd encourage people, when you think about going on short-term missions, look for God and let God have some control over things. Don't come with this totally pragmatic view of like, oh, I've got it all figured out. I'm going to see how this is all going to line up. And I will say for me, and I'm going to use up more of my time, I'm trying to talk fast here. When I was in St. Michael's, I literally started crying in church. It was really weird, so I still have a few tears here. Because I looked around, and that place reminded me so much of Christ Church, Episcopal now, where we used to go to church, where my kids were baptized and where I got married. And I saw some of the stained glass there is reminiscent of that, and just, you know, the memorials on the side. And we're in a lovely old Presbyterian church from 100 years ago, not quite as ornate. And we're in the right place, and God has ordained where we are, and we're happy about it. But just being in that place and then missing that church, it just kind of felt that, you know? And you guys are so blessed to still be in your building, and it's an amazing place, and it's such a gift. But I will say, when you think about Uganda, remember when churches like us, and it could have been y'all, were left without a home, it was the Ugandans that came to us. So I grew up Southern Baptist, so I was confirmed actually in the Anglican Church. Not that there's anything wrong with you guys being confirmed as Episcopalians, but I was like an early Anglican confirmee, and you know, the bishop from Uganda came to our church. Both the archbishop and the bishop of Soroti came to our church and provided leadership. The institution that raised that group of leaders up and supported those leaders was Uganda Christian University's Bishop Tucker School of Theology. It's been there since 1912. That's the place that was the birthplace of Anglican leadership in Uganda. It has been raising up leaders. And so the opportunity, this isn't like, what's the ask? Oh, here, time to cut a check for UCU. We'll come back to you one day probably asking about that, because we're trying to expand the medical school. That's not, I think, what we're doing. But if you give to UCU, you are giving to an institution that was there for us. It's a partner. It's an important place. We're part of this dynamic team that Global Anglicanism is a part of, that's bringing the gospel throughout the world. And it's an opportunity to support an institution that's at the heart of that, that's raising up the leaders that are the leaders in the Global South that were there for us and gave us the leadership and the support we need. So this isn't just like us going and helping these poor Ugandans that, you know. And when you pray for UCU, pray for that the mission, against mission drift, that it stays a solidly Christian university, because the better you get as a university, you know, the more dangerous the mission drift. Pray for the leaders. Pray for the witness of the school, because right now, the witness of the school is so powerful, but you know, the devil is always out to destroy a good witness. So pray for the witness of the school. So there's more that you can pray for UCU than just say, I pray that they get the money to do the little things they need to do. It's doing fine. It brings in $20 million a year of revenue from tuition, and it runs on that basically. I think that's the same amount that paid for Tom Gurley's championship Ohio State Buckeye football team with NIL money. But I won't be a hypocrite because my University of Georgia Bulldogs, we paid $30.2 million for an indoor practice facility. So we know where our priorities are, but your resources go so much further in a place like UCU. It is super, your wallet has to have superpower there in a way. It's a unique opportunity, little window of economy. We'll see if the dollar continues to have a superpower in Uganda 20 years down the road, but we have an opportunity to make a huge impact financially as well. But it's the partnerships that matter, recognizing that they are our brothers in Christ and that we are part of this mission with them. I hope it's exciting to you because it's exciting to me. And I was there for 7 years teaching law, and I had a family of four. It was the best experience of my life. I wouldn't trade it for the world. So maybe you're not all called to go to missions, but maybe you might. Maybe you should, and maybe it might be the best thing you ever do. So anyway, that's my talk.
Thanks, Brian. Yeah, the primary message that we came this morning to say is just thank you for the way that you are participating and have participated. If you've never even heard of Uganda Christian University, through your World Mission Committee, you have supported this work and you have been supporting it. And your prayers on a regular basis, again, God knows the needs of everyone we pray for in every institution. So again, even if you're learning for the first time this morning, you've been praying for Uganda Christian University. Those prayers matter. And there's Ugandan Christians praying for you all as well, even though they don't know your name, they don't know the specifics, but they're praying for you as well. And so that's just, that partnership, that connection is really what we just want to communicate, and it's a unique thing about the Anglican communion, and we just don't want to take that for granted. And so I've got one more slide I'm going to pop up here and talk a little bit about what Brian was talking about in terms of pilgrimage and what Tom mentioned, and then we'll have a few minutes for Q&A, and be sure to get us all out of here in time to go worship, which I'm very much looking forward to. We had a tour, we went and saw the inside of the church the other day, and it's remarkable. And the way that space invites you into worship is a remarkable thing. So we're glad to be here and to be able to speak to you, but also to be able to worship with you. You know, that's the key thing. So again, you know, very few of you are ever going to come to Uganda, and that's okay. But if you're struck and if you're interested, this is how we approach trips there. We approach them as Christian pilgrimages. We approach them as ways to see what God's working, has done and is doing in the Church of Uganda. And we use an analogy of a trip to the Holy Lands. Very few people go to the Holy Lands to do something. They go to experience God and to learn about what God has done. And that's the primary lens that we take with bringing people to Uganda. And the reason is God's been working in Uganda. The history there is not as old as the history here. Christianity came there in kind of the 1890s. So, which, you know, this is compared to that is like when you go to England and it feels old there. You guys feel, you know, your church and the Christianity here in South Carolina is ancient compared to that. But God's been working in Uganda since Christians first came. And if you want to learn about that firsthand, or you know someone that might be interested in that, we just invite you to come to talk to Tom and Jane. More about that, not for any other reason than to experience what God's doing there and to visit other Christians and see what God's doing there. Just like we were told how many people come and visit St. Philip's, you know, when it's open and the experience that they have because of the work God's done at St. Philip's and through St. Philip's for so, so long. And you all welcome people to do that. That's a part of your mission, is to welcome people to do that. And that's what we want to do to the few people that might be interested there. So I think with that, I'll just pause and see if there's any questions or if Tom needs to come up and correct anything I've said. I mean, that's a good question. I think it's the work of God, but there's also a history there, and there's a story of Uganda martyrs very early on that were martyred by the king of Uganda. It's a powerful story. We visit the museum with groups that come, so thank you for teeing up that plug right there. But you know, the blood of the martyrs is the seed of the church, and I think that there's a truth to that, and so that's a part of it. That history is a part of it. And the other part of it is, who can explain where God moves and how he moves? And there's a mystery to it. And so, yes, the East African Revival as well started in Rwanda and expanded in Uganda. So that was the early martyrs, East African Revival. God, you know, there's been movements of God consistently in the church in Uganda. Well, it's interesting. The Muslim population is fairly small, and it's fairly geographically dispersed. So it's not the same that you might have in, if you read about countries like Sudan, South Sudan, and other things. So it's interesting because Idi Amin is what people know of and they think of, but the Muslim population is less than 10%. And so there are ways that those religious groups work together, and there's ways that they work against each other in ways as well. So it's there, but it's the vision of Idi Amin outsizes the impact of Islam in Uganda. Yeah, it kind of highlights it in a way that's beyond the actual impact. And there was Idi Amin killed the archbishop at the time, who was another martyr. So there, even Idi Amin's oppression fed the church in ways. So. That's a good question. Range of ages. So Ugandans would graduate secondary school roughly around the same time as Americans. So 18, maybe 19, they have an extra year of school from K through 12 or 13. Because of financial challenges, often you'll find a broader range of students there. Maybe they're a little older because they have to take a couple years off to work or to find the resources. But roughly speaking, for the undergrad students, you're going to be 18, 19 to 22 or 23. They have graduate programs and others that have older students there, but yeah. Save the Mothers, that's right. It is. Save the Mothers is a program at the university, and they also do some work with hospitals directly, but yes, it's a program, and it was started, and we all lived next door to the Save the Mothers director for years, and they continue to do work. It's a graduate program in safe motherhood or public health leadership, so Brian?
First, I don't want to miss the opportunity to talk about when you gave the medicine piece or the health piece. So the big capital piece, I talked about, the university sustains itself on the $20 million, revenue coming in to operate, right? But to take it to the next level, sometimes we need that additional support. So what is going to be happening going forward is this medical school. We have 50 students a year that come into the medical school. It's 5 years, so 250 medical students, 10 in dental over 5 years. That's our current group that's been there for the last, it started 6-7 years ago. We're graduating our third class right now, so I guess 8 years ago. 5-year program starting an undergraduate. The vision is to triple the size of the medical school and double the size of the dental school. Mark was trying to get Charity to talk about the Ugandans that stay in Uganda. He was talking about some that are come to the site and provide more resources, which is great. But I taught law there for 7 years and would teach, you know, we'd have 220 in each class or so. And I will say it's great that a few ended up in America. Like, I know of like three. But, you know, of the other, 1,400 students that I had an impact with, I'm not aware of more than, you know, three or four that are now in the U.S. So same thing with medicine. I think sometimes there's a concern, oh, that all the doctors are going to come somewhere else. I had a doctor from somewhere else, so that must be what's happening. You know, this is an undergraduate degree, 5 years for a desperate need. I had a friend who was a dentist. He was from Manchester, England. He came down and was in southwest Uganda. He was the one dentist serving 400,000 people. So we talk about the rural area and the need to have the impact of medical care. This expansion of the medical school, which we're looking forward to, is hugely important. And we are going to be coming back and saying, hey, if you feel called to help us with this, we do need the financial support for that to have a bigger impact in Uganda in terms of health education and maybe even some also health care that's combined, because of course you want to be training students at hospitals. We have a current hospital we partner with there. But we didn't turn this into the medical school horse and pony show, but it's hugely important, and we're really excited about how well the medical school has done, the reputation it's already getting, and the desire for so many more students to get in, because we have so many qualified students that we can't let into the medical school right now because it's not as big as it needs to be. So it's really exciting how God has put his hand on that, and we look forward to coming back and saying, hey, this is something I believe that people want to be a part of growing.
Thank you. And I don't know, there's also to your point, the nursing program is there, public health, and some other related programs. So I don't know if that gets at your question or not, but I think we're wanting to wrap. Do we have one more question or? Yeah, the Church of Uganda faces some of the same concerns that we face. So they would, you know, they have that same concern. So, I think it's just some of the. I don't know if there's a magic formula, but they do. They certainly do actively think about how they're doing that. So it's a very intentional part of what they're doing, and there are. Anglican primary and secondary schools that do that work, and then the university also helps. But it's a challenge there as it is here, and in some ways the cultural support for it is, you know, maybe like it was here 50 years ago, and then they're looking ahead and seeing secularization and other factors. So it's just something you can pray for along with everything else, is that continuation of the church through the youth. So it's a good question.
Yeah, thank you very much. Just to remind you to come to the parlor if you want to continue this conversation, you're available. And we do have light refreshments. I'll turn it over to the rector wanted us to stop at 10:15, so we're stopping.
Well, first of all, I the Lord's promise to us is that the gates of hell will never prevail against the church. And I think one of the wonderful things about a presentation like this is that sometimes living in the West as we do, we see the church in decline, and that can be very depressing. But what we fail to see is that oftentimes what God is doing is fanning the flames of the gospel in other parts of the world. And isn't it ironic that Bishop Tucker, Theological College, is named for a bishop from the Church of England who is a missionary that went there to Uganda. And yet, here it is that the Africans are bringing the gospel back to North America. That's the way the Lord works, and we can rejoice in that and rejoice in this ministry, and it is a privilege for us to partner in it. So I want to thank everybody for their hard work and the time that you gave us today. Thank you very much for your time. We're going to go to worship, and I want to close this with a word of prayer, but I do want to say one word to Mark here, my dear brother from Savannah. I'm delighted that you had the privilege of going to St. Michael's today, our younger sister church, and hearing that moving sermon about zigzagging. But I just want to remind you that the book of Proverbs says, mark out a straight path for your feet. Stay on the safe path. Don't get sidetracked. So I'm glad your zigzagging brought you back here to St. Philip's. True enough, true enough. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we're so grateful for the work that you are doing through this wonderful university. And Father, we pray that you would continue to prosper it. We pray, Lord, that as they raise up teachers and doctors and lawyers and clergy, we pray, Father, that the word of the gospel would spread from that country to the entire continent of Africa and throughout the known world. We pray, Lord, that you would raise up missionaries to come back here to North America to evangelize our own people, that we may once again be a light to the nations as well. So, Father, bless their work. Bless us now as we depart and prepare for worship. Make our hearts glad and grateful for all that you have done for us. May your work continue, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.